It looks like we've got a lot of the technical glitches worked out. Apparently, this is kind of a statewide situation going on. And so I will now turn it over to Becky. And as I mentioned earlier, commissioners, the agenda you have is flipped in terms of what is posted online. We have it listed as the phone petition going first. But before we do that, we'll follow proper procedure more in line with what I should have done in the Shields and have Becky again outline the rulemaking process, our authority, again to update us as well as the members of the public that might just be hopping on the call now. So, Council Doctor.
Chair Colton, members of the commission, can you hear me?
Yes, and much better than before.
Okay, it does say right now my speaker's not working, so I will ignore that. So if you need to give me a sign, please do. So this, Chair Colton, members of the commission, Becky Doctor, Chief Legal Counsel, this discussion is about the petitions on the Madison Rivers. I'll give an overview again for process for considering the petitions and your authority for making a decision. And then I'll be available for questions as well. So first off, an interested person has the right to petition the commission through the Administrative Procedures Act. And the commission is defined in statute as an agency and is included there. So it is part of the enabling statute to allow a person to petition the commission. These Madison River petitions, and there are two, as you know, request restrictions on the river for commercial use, request a no-cost stamp to determine numbers for non-commercial use, provide rest rotation schedule, provide for a council to help determine the issues on the river as they arise, and a few other matters like a cap that I will allow the petitioners to discuss. The commission authority then is to address this these petitions within 60 days after their submission, and that is to allow or to make a decision to either deny the petition in writing or to initiate rulemaking through the Secretary of State rulemaking process. That process that we will go through today is to allow the petitioners, both of them, an opportunity to present their views each 15 minutes, then take public comment from interested persons and allow time for that. Allow time for the commission to ask questions of both the petitioners and the department if necessary, and then make a motion on the petitions. For the Madison, given that there are two petitions, there are some options for the commission's motions because there's overlapping subject matter and then there are conflicting subject matter. There are some things that the commission can do, one of which is to deny both of them and not initiate rulemaking. You could move to initiate rulemaking on just one and deny rulemaking on the other and vice versa. And you could also put out for public comment and initiate rulemaking on both the petitions and put those out for public comment and take public comment on those. If you decide to put both out, and to the extent there are conflicting views in the petitions, and there might be in my review, it is possible to write the rule with options in it and allow the public to weigh in on the options. And so that's another option for the commission to employ through this when there are two petitions. The next steps then, if you deny the petitions in this case, again, I will help you write up a decision with reasons that we can propose or issue to the petitioners, and that decision must be in writing and based on record evidence according to the law. The record evidence includes the petitions themselves, the presentation information that you gather during this meeting through questions or and even any info that you garner from the interested persons through public comment. If then you initiate rulemaking, again, I will help write up the language of the rule and working with the petitioners on this to ensure that we have adequately captured the concepts in the petition themselves, and then file it with the Secretary of State to start the administrative rulemaking process. Just a refresher, like I did for the last one on the Secretary of State process, is that you file a rule notice in accordance with the already scheduled timeframes for filing notices. You conduct hearings, take public comment, at the end of which I see static is creeping in, I've been told. So I don't have much longer to go, so hopefully I can make it. At the end of which you will have another commission meeting and consider final adoption. And at that final adoption, you take in consideration public comment and can adjust the rule, amend the rule. You can even opt not to adopt those rules at the end of that process. And that timeline would begin likely about September 14th, which is the next filing deadline for the Secretary of State that we could make. And 6 months after that, then a rule would have to be finalized. And so that's all I have. I hope you're able to hear that all, and I'll take questions now if you have any.
Thank you, Becky. Questions to Becky from the commission? Just one point of clarification. Becky, you said that in places where, whether the petition itself or there's two petitions where they come into conflict, that we have the option to write in options or you would write options. I believe we've done that before in other rulemaking situations. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but that's not uncommon for us to have a list of options.
Chair Colton, that is true. We have done options before, and the Secretary of State allows, and they're pretty stringent about what they allow in rule notices, and they do allow options in a rule notice and allow the public to weigh in on options. So that's something we've done before and we could do here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so given the nature of the petitions and the long history that already exists on petition process on the Madison and other rulemaking attempts, I'm gonna hear the petitions back to back and then we'll take the comments. So I'm gonna give FOAM its 15 minutes. And then I would have, I believe Mr. Lubeck is going to present on behalf of the sportsmen's groups. And then we'll open it up after another question session from the commission. I'll open it up for comments. So unless anybody with the department has anything to add or any concerns, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Bias. Please go ahead, Mr. Bias.
Chairman Colton, thank you. Commissioners, Director Williams. My name is Mike Bias. I'm Executive Director of the Fishing Outfitters Association of Montana, or FOAM. Over the last 3 years, our membership increased by over 300 members. We now represent 385 outfitters and 677 guides across the state of Montana, totaling over 1,065 members. Fulham represents nearly all of the fishing outfitters and many of the fishing guides across Montana. Fulham also represents over 75% of the over 200 Madison River special recreation permit holders, or SRP holders. We began formulating recommendations for a commercial use management alternative for the Madison River among the outfitters right after the April 2018 plan was rejected, a year prior to the negotiated rulemaking committee, of which we were a member. During December 2018, we initiated a series of town hall listening sessions in Ennis, West Yellowstone, Dillon, and Bozeman, meeting with the outfitting community prior to the NRC meeting. Community from January through April 2019, during the NRC meetings themselves. Results from all these meetings indicated that an allocation type management system ranked as the best management option for managing commercial use on the Madison River. Following the disbanding of the NRC in May 2019, we continued our discourse with outfitters, further refining our recommendations for a management recreation plan. Our plan was derived from much of the findings throughout the NRC meetings and refinement since then. We refined our commercial use plan throughout numerous meetings with outfitters and guides, individual commissioners, fish, wildlife, and park staff, and other organizations in the last 2 years. In the fall and winter of 2019, we polled our membership and submitted our plan as a petition to the commission to provide alternative management recommendations to the petitions that were submitted by the George Grant Chapter of Trout Unlimited and the Madison River Foundation. In 2019 membership surveys, 76% of our members were in favor of FOAM submitting our plan as a petition. Following the cancellation of the June 2020 commission meeting, in which the commission was scheduled to decide whether to release for public comment Fish, Wildlife, and Parks proposed Madison River Recreation Management EA. This plan again has the overwhelming support of our membership, and the majority of commercial use support these recommendations as part of an adaptive Madison River commercial use management plan. 72% of our members asked that we proceed with submitting the commercial use management plan as a petition, and that's what you have in front of you. Our plan has overwhelming support of FOAM members. The majority of FOAM members support these recommendations as part of a Madison River Recreation Management Plan. Our plan is divided into several sections, and the first of these includes overall river use. Our plan does not suggest or agree with the use of any type of boat closure to access as a solution to crowding. In fact, having less space for any user group or exclusive space for any user group that are currently using the river at capacity, be it commercial or non-commercial, simply increases crowding on the Madison, doesn't reduce crowding. As such, we propose that the section from Quake Lake to Lions Bridge remove the existing walkway reach during Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the week, effectively allowing fishing from a boat or a vessel during those days. We also propose to quantitatively evaluate the use in this section, and if the adopted regulations prove effective, it could be permanently adopted or altered or even eliminated if the data supports that. From the Ennis Bridge to Ennis Lake existing walkway section, we propose maintaining that as status quo. Our next major section in our plan deals with commercial use management. We would propose the maximum allowance of commercial use trips for outfitters be set at the 2019 or 2020 levels for all SRP holders. We incorporate a plan that allows flexibility and annual use through the use of flex trips, which I'll talk about in a minute. We propose to establish a trip distribution pool of available days to qualified new entry outfitters. And we incorporate a lose it or use it type allocation where if the outfitter is not using his trips after 3 years, they're forfeit. We propose that no shoulder seasons should be established, such as on the Beaverhead and Big Hole, and the permit runs for the calendar year. Flex trips. There is a need for flex trips on the Madison River for use by outfitters, especially out of area outfitters whose historic use on the Madison has fluctuated greatly from year to year. Outfitters occasionally need to use the Madison River when other fisheries are closed or not performing due to circumstances beyond their control. We propose that SRP holders may access up to 10 additional flex trips annually, two out of every 3 years. SRP holders may use these flex trips beyond their historic allocation. Flex trips are temporary in nature, may be adjusted over time, and are not transferable with their permit. Under the transfer of guided trips or allocated trips to the outfitter, outfitter historic use is attached to an SRP permit. SRP holders may only transfer or receive guided trips. Guided trips may be transferred at the discretion of the outfitter with notice to the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and only transferred to an already qualified SRP holder. Each outfitter entering into a transfer of guided trips with other qualified outfitters must do so by completing a transfer request form produced, prescribed by the Department of our Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, which is currently done on the Beaverhead, Big Hole, and West Fork of the Bitterroot. Our plan incorporates tiers and the loss of guided trips if unused. The percentage of total trips conducted by outfitters from 2011 to 2019, in fact, revealed consistent and distinct groupings of the number of trips outfitters conducted from year to year. In 2018, 100 outfitters, or 56% of the outfitters working on the Madison, conducted only 25 trips or less. That's over half the outfitters in the permit pool. 24 outfitters conducted 26 to 50 trips. 19 outfitters conducted 51 to 100 trips. That's 87% of the outfitters conducted 100 trips or less. 28 outfitters conducted 100 trips or more. Applying these management options to tiers of outfitters, whether guided trips or flex days or other forms of management, can more effectively manage a distinct group of outfitters without affecting all outfitters as a whole. SRP holders using guided trips changes over time. Outfitters that decline over time in their guided trips will receive reduction of their allocated trips due time. Guided trips, which are forfeit, will be made available to qualified SRP holders through the trip distribution pool. Permit and application fees are similar to what's existing now. SRP holders will apply annually to renew their SRP trips or their SRP permits, excuse me. Application fees are $110 annually. SRP holders will submit annual reports for each SRP permit. Annual reports will include their client trip logs, which they do now. And SRP holders will pay 3% of gross revenue less their trip application fee or their permit application fee. Our plan proposes a plan evaluation, a quantitatively evaluated plan that looks at use by reach or section across time immediately following the first year of this plan. Following the first year, similar evaluations will be conducted every 3 years. Our proposed timeline, quantitative evaluations and reports will allow this program to be adaptive to changing conditions and allow for modification of the plan or timely fixing of any flaws in the plan or problems associated with the plan. We also propose to evaluate the satisfaction of the SRP holders and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks generate an annual report. We propose to establish a commercial use working group under the authority of the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Region 3 Recreation Manager. Commercial use working group will be comprised of Region 3 Recreation Manager, a member of the Fish and Wildlife Commission, and at least three Madison River SRP holders. Establish an appeal process for conflicts and complaints, which will be addressed by the Commercial Use Working Group. And the Commercial Use Working Group will also award eligible outfitters guide trips through the trip distribution pool based on the lottery. The Commercial Use Working Group will administer and advise on the trip distribution pool and also administer and advise new entries to the SRP pool. The last portion of our plan would be to implement a no-cost, no-limit Madison River use stamp. On an annual basis, 89% of the fishing on the Upper Madison comes from non-commercial anglers. Angler use has increased over the past 20 years, and in 2017 was 207,000 angler days. Projected use in 2019 was 249,000 angler user days, which is an increase greater than all the commercial use on the Madison combined. Information on trends and non-angling use of the river is less clear, but overall use on the river has increased and is expected to continue to rise, regardless of any cap on commercial use. Management tools such as walkway, rest and rotation, access to improvement can help maintain the quality of experience, but lose effectiveness as overall use increases. Setting limits on caps or non-commercial use is premature because of lack of information related to desires and concerns of the non-angling recreationists on the river. However, instituting a comprehensive data gathering tool, such as a no-cost, no-limits Madison River use stamp, is recommended to obtain more information on all current use and type of use on the river. Such a system could be implemented by requiring an unlimited, no-cost river use stamp. Increasing use levels would probably necessitate a cap or limit on all use in the future and help protect the resource and maintain the quality of experience. To conclude, FOAM respectfully requests the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the Fish and Wildlife Commission adopt the recommendations in this petition and initiate rulemaking regarding the management of commercial and non-commercial use on the Madison River. And I thank you for your time and interest on this issue.
Thank you, Dr. Bias. I'm going to go ahead and move right into